Dr. Marion Whitman is an expert in Asian or golden clams, which are an invasive species in Lake Tahoe. These clams don't have any natural predators and as a result have taken over significant swaths of the lake floor, where they cause damage to the ecological system and can sometimes cause economic damage by spurring algae blooms and other effects damaging to Tahoe's water and beaches.
Welcome, Marion Whitman, to this Tahoe Project interview. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Michelle.
So, Asian clams. You are a not only Tahoe expert on the subject, but becoming a national expert on the subject. And we're going to start really basic. What are they? What do they look like?
Sure, yeah. Well, Asian clams, they're also called golden clams. So they, by virtue of that name, they're gold in color. They've got ridges on them, and they're about the size of maybe a dime or the size of a quarter, is about as big as they can get. And what they are is it's a species that's currently farmed in Asian countries for food. They're harvested in Asian countries for food. They're used in soups. They're used in lots of tasty dishes. But unfortunately, they were introduced to North America somewhere about 100 years ago. Also as a source of food here, but they don't have any natural predators, and they do very well in North American systems. And so what they've been able to do is essentially invade the systems that they're introduced to by taking over the communities that are already there. So here in North America, they're considered very invasive. They cause a lot of economic and ecological damage to freshwater systems when they are introduced.
So specific to Tahoe, what kind of economic damage would we incur from Asian clams?
Yeah, I think the most acute or the most easily seen impact that they have is through their impact to aesthetic values. So Asian clams, they have very rapid life spans. They live for about 2 to 4 years in this lake. And when they die, their shells, just like when you're on the beach and you see shells littered along the beach, they get deposited in the same way. So on Lake Tahoe, what they do is they wash up on the near shore. But along with all the shell material, there's also the tissue material that's inside of them. And so they wash up on the shore. There's an odor associated with it. The shells are on the beach in the sand, and that's something that you typically don't see around here. So in essence, what they really do is they are kind of like garbage on a beach, I guess, in a place where they have never been before. So I would say aesthetically, that's one of the real main things that you see. The second biggest impact, or I guess in my opinion, another impact, is to the food web of Lake Tahoe. So Asian clams are very good at eating, and they're very good at reproducing. And so what they can do is they can out-eat and they can outgrow all of the native invertebrates or little bugs that are also in the sediments. So because of that, they kind of shift how all the ecology works in the lake from the ground up, essentially.
And my understanding is the first Asian clam noted in Lake Tahoe was about a decade ago, 2002. Is that approximately right?
That's right. Yeah, they were first observed in 2002. And similar to first observations of other invasive species in this lake, they were thought to not be able to have a big impact on the lake. And that's for a few reasons. One is that Lake Tahoe is very low in nutrient, and it's also a cold water lake. And so species like Asian clam and other invasive species that are introduced are typically warm water species, and they need lots of food to be able to thrive. So not a lot of attention was paid to them back then, because the idea was, oh, well, they probably can't survive or can't do all that much. And I think at that time also there wasn't a lot of attention paid to the biology of the near shore. And as time progressed and Asian clam and other species increased in numbers, then the realization that they were an actual problem became more widely known, I guess.
Getting back to their food and the environment that they need, do nitrogen and phosphorus play a role in their abundance or their ability to survive? Or?
Yes, it can. So nitrogen and phosphorus are essentially the building blocks of a food web in the sense that the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus determines the amount of primary productivity. So the amount of algae that's in a lake and or the amount of diatoms that are in a lake. And just basically all species rely on the uptake of nitrogen and phosphorus to grow. So the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus will determine the amount of algae and the amount of any other species that you have in the lake. So yes, it could have, there's definitely a direct linkage to nutrients and the amount of biota or biology that you have around.
Okay. And getting back to sort of the timeline of the Asian clam's evolution in the lake. So 2002, first official, okay, we have Asian clam. Mm-hmm. Don't think they can survive here. And then was it 2008 in association with the Marla Bay algal bloom that Asian clams kind of came back into people's attention?
Well, they were actually observed before the algal bloom was observed. So in 2008, so UC Davis has some researchers that go out annually to sites around the lake and quantify the amount of algae that's in the near shore as an indicator of the health of the near shore. And so the researchers were out doing their normal surveys and they came across basically a lot of the shell matter deposed, or just the shell matter was on top of the sediment structure. I'll start over. So in 2008, the UC Davis researchers were out doing their regular surveys of the near shore to look for algal populations. And what they do is they quantify the amount of algae that's in the near shore and as an indicator of near shore health. And at that time, they had noticed a lot of clam shells deposited on the sediment surface in the areas where they typically go that they hadn't seen before, and there were just thousands of them. I mean, tens of thousands of them. And so it was then that they noticed, okay, well, this isn't right. These aren't the normal species, or this is not a normal species that we see. And then later in the summer months is when the algal bloom also occurred in that same area. So it wasn't the algal bloom that was the first thing that they saw. It was just the second thing that they saw after they observed the shells that were out there.
So is there a correlation between the, or an association between the algal bloom and the clams, or was it just circumstance?
There is an association, there is a correlation. And so some of the we had surveyed the entire lake and had looked for both algae and clams. And there is a strong correlation between their presence. So, but not always. So sometimes you can have clams, but there is no algae. And sometimes you can have algae, but there is no clams. And I just want to clarify that algae is a normal thing in the lake. There's always algae in lake, but in lakes, and algae is a good part of a lake. But basically, when there's algal blooms or when there's too much algae, then that's when we're concerned. So like I said, there is a correlation between the two, but you can have these algae blooms without the presence of clams, and you can have the presence of clams without the presence of algae. In the Great Lakes, for example, the same algae bloom that we're seeing here is associated with the invasion of zebra mussels, which is a different kind of clam. And so there are correlations observed in those systems with algae blooms and similar types of invasive species. So we're still looking into the direct linkage between clam presence and algae bloom presence here.
This is the end of part one of the Tahoe Project interview with Dr. Marion Whitman.